used too, because I always wanted to do that shit.
Yeah.
That fucking hit.
This nigga buy everything off DH Gate. I bet. He get jerseys, headbands, draws.
Sponsored and shit.
Like, look.
He got him framed.
He got him sitting on a Tesla, dog.
He got a fucking showcase. You're that's fooling, hilarious.
And I ain't blinding you or nothing like that.
I'm good.
Sure?
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Jimmy, oh, look, he's playing tonight. Of course he is.
Because he's ducking smoke with his bitch ass.
Dog, you was hilarious.
Oh, ass nigga. Yeah, you better not play. You better have ankle problems, nigga.
Buck's still only won by like what? Like less than 10?
Still. He would have played. We fucking around and won by more. He had a bad game.
Yeah,
probably.
He demanded the ball. They could've, we could have got blew out if he played, or we could have bust their ass even more.
I wanted him. Like I said, I
wanted him to play.
I wanted him to play. I want to be able to. I want a full on, so that way we can really, you know what I'm saying? That's one of our tests. That's one of our, let's see if everything, you
what
know.
What was that, 2 days ago? So that was the in-season, right, yeah, in-season tournament game. Mm-hmm. The Bucks won their bracket, right?
Yeah.
That's
right. That's what's up.
Yeah. And they needed to win that game to get in. They did. He didn't even play.
He said, what's 500 grand? He said, I make more than that in half of a game, a quarter of a game and shit. Hey.
Yeah.
He ain't one of them dudes that's life-changing money for him. He's like, ah.
I know, but a lot of vets are trying to win the tournament for their rookies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. For sure.
Or, like, you know, for maybe for their charity. Some people are doing it for that.
I mean, shit, does Miami have any rookies?
They do. That's me, young boy.
Do they? I always think of them as a team that never has any damn rookies. The last rookie they had was Tyler Hero, and before that, it was Dwayne Wade and shit. Everybody else just joined the team at some point past their rookie year.
we got a 5 year.
It's like a LeBron team and shit. It's like every time LeBron don't have a team of rookies and shit. Every team he get on, he has a fuck around and have just goes and gets all the veterans around the league to play with him.
LeBron go get his homies for the most part, and then he pick one random person like, hey, you know what? You never got a ring. Come over here.
LeBron will play Utah to one day and be like, bro, what, you know what? You got a nice guy. You've been in the league 12 years. Come on, man. And then trade his ass next year.
And then
trade him next year.
That's why it's crazy. It's like, you know what I'm saying? I've been a known, you know, on the court LeBron hater. But the one thing that nigga does, he done gave a lot of people an opportunity. So it's crazy that now seeing that he throwing his all, but like it ain't enough. Yeah.
I think every episode you said is just I shake my head every time. It's like I don't get the LeBron hate ever. I don't get it.
I do.
Hey,
I don't get it.
I do. I'm also on that fan club.
why though? I don't understand.
I just don't like how you basketball, bro. I feel like he's a super dominant player.
Yep.
Like he doesn't have to flop. I was so happy to watch them get him a tech for that flop he did.
Yeah.
You don't have to play like that, bro. You the biggest player in the dog. LeBron is a mutant, bro. He does not have to be soft like that, bro.
Did you ever see the Iman Shumpert interview, though, where he talked about that? Where he said, the reason why LeBron started flopping like that is because the league wasn't calling the fouls when he was getting fouled. He was like, I'm doing that shit because he was like, you got dudes like James Harden throwing his hands up in the air, shooting 30 free throws a game. LeBron was like, I'm just going to start doing that.
Now, what if Giannis take up that idea?
I mean,
because he's the most dominant player in the league right now.
Yeah, that's true.
That'd be gay as fuck, bro. They'd be mad.
I wouldn't like that.
Giannis doesn't want to go to the free throw line that much because he don't be making it.
True. But they mad at Giannis right now because they say all he do is run and dunk. What's wrong with that?
Bro, you can't stop it.
Like,
if you can't stop my move, why would I switch it up?
Bro, they was pissed at Melo because all he did was shoot mid-ranges for a week straight.
All you can do is run and dunk. But can you stop
me? Can you stop me, though? You cannot stop me.
So, again, Bron ain't got to play. He ain't got to do that, though.
Nah, man.
But I get to the free throw line, get more points.
Yeah, I mean.
So, I understand it.
And it also puts your opponent at a disadvantage when you get him into foul trouble.
Yeah, like Berkey said, it's literally just the way he bats with. Because, like I said, we are rational haters. Like, we never going to be like, Bron, trash. Like, he can't hoop. But it's certain
trash.
Moves that he does that is like, bro, why are you doing that?
That's
like, I would say he's trash. Like, he's doing trash shit.
Yeah.
If you ever seen me say that, I don't mean like LeBron is trash. Right, like, come on, let's be honest here. But he might do some shit that I'll be like, that's trash.
Yeah. Yeah. And what it is, he got a lot of that. He got a lot of it. It's like, bro, why are you doing that?
Yeah.
Like, you, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. I still say that Miami LeBron was probably one of the most fun times I've ever seen somebody play basketball, though. Like, he was just.
Oh, he was having a blast.
He was just different. I'm gonna say it was the best he ever was.
The year they won in Cleveland was the year I was just like, all right.
Yeah.
He earned a lot of respect.
Yeah. Yeah. They did. Yeah. The Cleveland, that they earned a lot of respect. The one thing about the Miami time, him and Wade, they
was built different.
That one too was crazy.
That was prime.
I expected that team to do that.
Me too. Yeah. I did too.
No, I did too.
But I'm more so focused on the highlights.
Enjoy it.
Yeah. It was like one of those things where you can envision these two people playing together, and then when they finally do it, and it's looking like you envision it, it's like, all right, this is fun.
Let's be honest. Yeah. Chris Bosh wasn't no fucking pushover.
He was an all-star. He was an all-star. He was best player on Toronto.
A 2010 player before he got to Miami. Let's be honest here.
But like I said, the highlights, like I said, the alley oops, the way that they played, it was like, it was like, you got a lot of dope images, you got a lot of dope videos, a lot of like dope dunk packages that came from that time.
Still pisses me off that the greatest lob that they threw was against the Bucks. You just see Luke Richard Mahmoute just there, like, bro, what am I supposed to do? Like,
can you stop this?
It was in them trash ass red and green uniforms.
Christmas specials.
What is a better poster? Is it off of an alley-oop or a straight-up?
Straight up.
I was thinking that too because it was one of those dunk compilations, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the ones where niggas fell and where it looked the worst was off of alley-oops. Like, you know, DeAndre Jordan won.
That's still straight up, though. Straight up. Like an alley-oop, when you say like, alley-oop, I'm
talking about like Bron on Isaiah Thomas.
No,
that was
Alley-Oop. That was not Isaiah Thomas, though.
Who was on the Celtics? I thought it was
on the Celtics, but it wasn't Thomas. It was Jason Terry.
Jason Terry.
Was disrespectful.
But that's what I'm saying. It was a whole bunch. It was a lot that looked like that. It was like, it looked like that. Hey, those were some vicious ass dunks. But then
you also got Blake Griffin on Mozgov,
Kobe on Dwight Howard, you know what I'm saying?
D-Wade on Varejao.
Or Pippen. Jordan on Ewing.
Yeah.
Jordan on
Mutombo.
Like, those are straight ups. But I feel like a certain kind of alley-oop ones, like you just said, the Jason Terry one, I look at that as a straight up. Alley-oop, when I see alley-oop, I'm thinking about everybody in the open and, you know, cats get the...
Yeah.
Jumping high and grabbing the ball. Out of, yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Some all-star game shit.
Facts. Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I think straight up was when a nigga get dunked on. That's straight up. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Like,
yeah.
Like with DeAndre Jordan did the, what's his name? That was sad.
Bro.
That was sad.
Was it Brandon? No.
No,
Aaron
Brett?
Brandon Knight. I think he got traded immediately.
Bro.
He ended up in Milwaukee.
I'll still never forget the fucking meme. It was fucking Simba laying over his body like, wait, get up.
Bro,
that might have been the first NBA meme. Like,
bro, I swear
it was the whole thing because also like DeAndre Jordan's face when he looked it up.
Bro, that was during the Vine. That was during the Vine times, bro. So that clip was just perfect Vine, six seconds. That's all you need. It was the lob, the dream.
One of my favorite
all line around him and shit.
Yeah, one of my favorite alley-oops is the one for I think it was J.R. Smith. That one that windmill one that he caught on Knicks when it was doing doing the Knicks tapes.
Yeah.
Knicks tapes though, they had so much potential with that Knicks team. That was my 2K team.
Bro,
that
it's funny because you said the windmill. Instantly, I thought of the Gerald Green when he was on the Nets.
Yeah,
and he had some bunnies for real, bro. He had bunnies for real.
Gerald Green was OC.
Yeah.
He was OC.
Yeah, bro. So it's like, I was just like I said, when you see those dunk compilations, they're filled with a whole bunch of them and everything like that.
TikTok is great for that now.
Man, it'd be just... like I said, and it's funny because like the song, certain songs now, I associate with that now, right?
Yeah.
Like, so the song Careless Whisper, because of that, because the way in TikTok, the way they do it, it's the acapella, right? And then they always show somebody, so they're like, just like to. And they be going so slow, like, baby, it's right this way. And as soon as they dunk, that's when it goes into the beat come back in there.
Man, I swear.
I said, it's just like, I always think about that now. Just always just off of that.
Always. That's crazy.
But hey, man, welcome back to Off the Clock Sports Podcast, man. Let's get it, man. Your boy, Young Deuce, is with me. I got my man, Bergie Streets.
/God/God.
And always, I got my man, Jake Exclusive. Man, how was your holidays, man?
It was cool, man. It was cool. We did the family thing. Hey, I had to work and shit, so
yeah.
Besides that, man, it was cool.
You
man.
Worked Thanksgiving Day?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, trash.
Yeah. Hospitals don't close.
Ah, yeah, you're right. No, you're right.
Man. Yeah. What about you, Jake?
Man, it was a long fucking day.
Well, I was told
two games of football, drinking, eating.
Oh, chill, yeah, because you do the yearly out there.
Yeah,
right?
I played a game with all my flag football homies, and then my guy, him and his family, they do a game as well, and we've been participating with that for like the last 8 years.
Dope.
So I didn't really play too much in the first game. The second game was all that was a battle though.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
It's promising though. Is that the one that he does too?
Who?
Promise from V100 P-Rock?
Yep, he'll show up to there Yeah, man, it was fun though, man. I was tired as a bitch, but I mean, and then we just went over to my girl's uncle's house the rest of the night, ate some good ass food, and watched some football. It was chill, man.
Yeah, that's literally all I did was I went to mom's crib. I went there early.
Yeah, it was funny as a bitch though. My guy at like it was like probably 9 o'clock at night. He looked at me. He was like, "Bro, Jake, you good?" I'm like, "Yeah." I was drinking a little bit. He was like, "Bro, what time did you wake up?" I was like, 5. He was like, "For what?" I'm like, I was telling him the whole day. He was like, "Bro, you need to go the fuck to sleep." He was like, "Bro, your eyes look like you
didn't have to work that Friday, did you?"
I did work Friday. Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. You was out going crazy.
I wasn't drinking that much. I mean, I had a little buzz waking up
at 5 a.m. Two games.
And our first football game was at 7:30. So That's Thanksgiving.
How many years y'all been doing this?
Ah, shit. We've been doing the Sunday game. That was the first game. I at least been doing it since I was 16. Yeah. They've been doing it for forever before that. But the second game that I went to, they've been doing it for like 60 some years.
Jeez.
It's two families, and they just grew up in the same neighborhood. They just been playing against each other for all these years, and then, you know, grandkids and friends and shit get incorporated.
Yeah. Damn, man, now, bro, I'm like, I wish the niggas off of Mill Road, we would've stuck to it and shit like that. Because like,
we used to, bro, I played two turkey bowls. Yeah, it was like, because a couple years ago, like, we were on the news, like, I think we were on, like, Fox News for it and shit. Like, they did a whole thing.
Dope.
Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah. Like, we got out the car, all of a sudden, there was a camera in my face. They was like, "What's up?" I'm like, ready to go. Let's do it. It was dope, man. It was cool.
Time to get to it, man. But yeah, before we get into all of our topics and everything, the topic that I saw online, I wanted to ask y'all: football games on Thanksgiving or basketball games on Christmas? What do you prefer?
Football on Thanksgiving. Seems like religion.
Yeah, football
it
on
just
Thanksgiving.
Seemed like, I think I just really kind of took up the mantra of basketball on Christmas. Like, I ain't gonna say recently, but it became a thing when I got older.
Yeah, me too. Yep.
Me
football
too.
On Thanksgiving.
Since forever, it's always been a thing. I don't even know if the NBA always been doing Christmas.
I think they got to be at least probably the past
10 years. I would give it that. I would say my
most recent memory was over being at my aunt's house on my mom's side of the family when they still had the sleeve jerseys. I think it was like Warriors Lakers or Warriors Cavs on Christmas or some shit. I think the Bucks played that year too or something. But
yeah, man, like, it just football Thanksgiving just seems like legendary.
So me and my aunt were the only Cowboy fans in the family.
You and Denise?
Yeah, me and my aunt Denise, right? And so, you know, Chris, you know what I'm saying, Thanksgiving, they always even have to play Detroit, was always there. Yeah. And so, like, you know what I'm saying, it used to be clockwork. My aunt Denise used to be the house that everybody goes to.
Yeah,
so we all go there, we get the food and everything like that, and then on the big back TV, the game on. The game's definitely on.
It's always they've always been the second game, right? Yep. I think Detroit's always the first game, and then because I don't think they always had a third game, did they?
No,
I think that's new.
I thought it was always two.
Yeah,
I know it was always the Lions played, and then the Cowboys played, and then one in the evening.
Yeah.
Because I know that obviously they added the third game within. It's been going on for at least 15 years now, at least. Because I remember watching, you know, Brett Favre return to Lambeau.
Yep.
Packers lost to the Bears.
Yeah.
Piss me off in the rain in Lambeau.
Right.
But
we got the win this year, though.
Yes, we did. We're gonna get into that for sure.
Right. So let's get into some of our topics, right? So one of the ones we gotta talk about. All right, so we deep in the season. Well, not deep in the season, but we're getting deep in the season. We're starting to see how these teams
25% mark.
Yep, trying to see how these team makeups is. We're starting to see who's gelling, who's not.
Mm-hmm.
Dang, is Malik Beasley becoming more important than Dame? That is a question that's been posed.
I saw that on Twitter, and I saw an article for it, and then when I went to look for the article right before I came up here, I couldn't find it again. So I think they might have deleted the article. I was looking it up, man. And I was like, all the articles I kept seeing was like Malik Beasley's having a career year. Like yes. Malik Beasley is really becoming a part of the Bucks offense. Like yes. he's turning the corner of his career yep. type shit. And that's where I like looked into it. I'm like, he really is having a good ass, like a quietly good ass year to start yes. the year. Like, yeah. and like I was watching the Bucks game over at my guy's house the one night, and he was getting butt. Like he was going toe to toe. Like he was running the offense. He was like, leading
like,
the squad.
He was like, looking like the Malik Beasley that we seen glimpses of this. So when we got to meet Malik Beasley, we was like, if he could just show us a shimmer of that.
This is the player that the Lakers mm-hmm. wanted him to be. For yeah. Like, yeah. Malik Beasley, like he's always been a good player. Mm-hmm. Always can shoot the ball. Always can create his own shot. Mm-hmm. He's been like who he's being right now. But yeah. I think he just needed to get in the system where he can almost kind of like not. He's not heavily dependent on.
Yeah. yeah.
So that works for him. You yeah, know what I'm yeah. saying? Like, it's a place where, look, all we need you to do is maybe get us 15
yeah.
to 14 or 12 solidly mm-hmm. a game, maybe. And we cool with that. He like, well, shit, if I get comfortable, can I still shoot this motherfucker?
Right. Yeah.
And they like, go for it. And he's
so,
doing it.
So then, to the question at hand, I'm not saying that he's more important than Dame. What yeah. I'm saying is he's doing exactly what we need him to be.
Yes.
Right? Because here's the thing. When you think about like the Bucks in general, we always had a solid team, right? But we had like two, maybe three people front loaded going crazy, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now we are at a position where we can have a lot, where we can have way more people that we can depend on.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
super fully loaded, where we know, okay, if that second unit comes in, we are like it may not be as efficient or it may not be as top, but we know that we're not gonna fall behind. Mm-hmm. It's not yeah. going to be a minus. Yeah. You know, we're still going to be able to do rock and roll. So it's like, you know what I'm saying? To me, Malik Beasley, what he's doing is heavily important. I'm never going to downplay it at all. Yeah. It's exactly what we need him to do. We yeah. need to be able to that because remember, we got Dame to score, but we really got Dame to close. Mm-hmm. Right?
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
so and that's what it is. We needed a closer and Dame is that closer. Mm-hmm. So having Malik Beasley being able to rock, it does relieve a lot of like, okay, yes, Dame, he can still, we know Dame can score in the sleep, but it's like you don't have to score as many.
Yeah. We got a person like in Dame, we got a person who can relieve Giannis.
Yep.
And Beasley, we got a player who can relieve Middleton.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like we got somebody who
God, it was fun Middleton to get him name. Back.
It's you so know what good. I'm saying? Like now that he can kind of calm down, you know, he's having injuries mm-hmm. and stuff like that. He has been in restrictions when shit happened.
Yeah.
We can be like, okay, at least we still got Beasley who mm-hmm. possibly, mm-hmm. if he don't make up all the way,
yep.
give us at least half of that.
Yep. yep. And I like that Malik Beasley, like you said, Malik Beasley's like, yo, if I'm feeling good, can I shoot it? Because yeah. his confidence is needed. We need people that, yes, okay, you may not be starting, but when you come in, you have that confidence like, okay, I'm running this shit. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I like seeing that confidence in him, you know what I'm saying, and all his play.
He looked decent on defense, too.
And man, yeah. you know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's what I'm saying. We didn't need nobody to be the next Drew. We just needed to make sure everybody step up and be decent.
Facts.
You yeah, know what I'm saying? Facts. And so, yeah, I don't think that he's more important. I think that he's doing exactly what we need and for this team, for this Bucks team, for everything, like you I'll know, say, what I'm saying,
yeah, yeah, you know, shit's going right for him though. When that Chris Middleton shot went off his hand, yeah. and just fell out his hand. Beasley was like, "Oh, don't worry about it, I got this."
Don't worry,
cash. Like, don't worry. Hey, that's when you know that's like on some Steph Curry, like I'm just gonna put this bitch up type shit. It's going in. Damn. I know it's going in.
That
like,
was the wildest assist ever.
Middleton was like, "Oh shit, oh, never mind." Oh,
cool.
Hey, yeah, that was yeah, one of those. Yeah. Hey, that was one of those. I meant to do that.
Right.
I meant to do that.
Right,
cool, cool, cool. You know what I'm saying?
It was all in the plan. We practiced this every day. But yeah,
we drew that up. Good call, coach.
In fact, I'm gonna say he's not more important than Dame, and I don't think that he feels like that.
Nah.
But at the same time, shit, he could be too though, because you know, like the bench is our bench matters.
A bench and matters. Also, that's what I said. Yeah.
Also, players who are in our starting five matters too, because again, Dame ain't gonna always be Dame every night. Giannis ain't gonna always be Giannis mm-hmm. every night. Then you know the wear and tear on seasons happen.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? You need players to step up. I'm gonna say he's not more important than Dame. Is he a very important piece of this team?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Yes. Yeah. For sure. We don't need him. I just hope that he doesn't start fading to black. We don't need him to be who he being right now.
Yeah.
A lot.
And I hope, like I said, I'm not seeing any inklings of it, but I do hope like the team, and I believe they will. I believe because Giannis is just a He a happy-go-lucky player. Like, he you know what I'm saying? Especially if you on his team, he going to ride with you and he going to push you. And I hope that, like, his confidence is still being rewarded, like, even in that locker room. Like, you know what I'm saying? Dame giving him props. You know, Mid giving him. Like, I hope the people, so that way he still feels like that. Like, right now, the what I'm seeing from the Bucks is kind of what I've been wanting to see is, like, you know, I've been wanting to see who else is going to shine. Like, like I said, if Dame's having a bad week or whatever, I'm okay. I'm like, Dame, it's a slump. You know what I'm saying? He's a star. If Giannis is having a bad week, it's a slump. Middleton, like, all of our starters is a slump. So it's like now the focus is, but who else is going to step up? So that way, if somebody's having a slump, then we know that we got somebody that's going to be able to still be able to give us production and stuff like that. So I mean, like I said, I'm happy seeing somebody pop up. I love seeing a title like this. Is Malik Beasley more? Because that just lets us know Beasley is doing stepping his game up to the point where people are like, "Yo, hey."
I saw a tweet. I can't remember who it was. It was a Bucks, one of the Bucks, you know, main kind of tweet, you know, guys on social media, things like that. It was like, Malik Beasley is legit like a starting five guy right now. Mm-hmm. Like the way he's been playing like the last 2-3 weeks. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I don't know if we have a spot for him to start in five, but you know,
we can mess around with rotations.
That's a good little spot to have. That's a good problem to have.
Yeah, mess around with rotations, especially when you like, okay, you know, let's say if it's a lighter game, you know what I'm saying? If you're not going to do a full resting of a full player, like, you know what? All right, we're going to. Let's play around with the lineup. Let's see what we can do.
Facts.
As for, you know what I'm saying, start this game real quick and see how that goes. So it's like, I'm okay with that. You know what I'm saying? I want 100% okay with that.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. So let's talk about the in-season tournament. In-season standings, man. So like I said, right now, if I'm not mistaken, this the full standings?
That looks right.
Yep. So Group A, we got Pacers at 1, Cavs at 2, Sixers at 3, Hawks at 4, Pistons at 5. Group B, we got Bucks at 1, Knicks at 2, Heat at 3, Hornets at 4, Wizards at 5. Group C, Group C, we got Celtics at 1, Magic at 2, Nets at 3, Raptors at 4, Bulls at 5.
This is my first time looking at it. I didn't realize the team groupings were like that.
Yeah,
that's weird.
It. Yeah, so that's the Eastern Conference. On the Western Conference, we got Group A, Lakers at 1, Phoenix at 2, Jazz at 3, Blazers at 4, Grizzlies at 5. Yeah. Group B, we got Pelicans at 1, Rockets at 2, Mavericks at 3, Nuggets at 4, Clippers at 5.
That's shocking.
Yep, and then Group C, we got Kings at 1, Timberwolves at 2, Warriors at 3, Thunder at 4, and Spurs at 5. So, with these in-season tournaments and everything like that, and then I'm going to group two of our topics together, talking about the in-season tournament standings and also is the in-season tournament going to be better than the first round of playoff games? Right. We talked about it again, but in season, how are you guys feeling about it?
Duh. So y'all know I was like kind of iffy on the whole thing. I watched that Bucks game the other night that I can't remember who the hell they played now. Like, cause it's been a weird week. Like, that shit looked like Game 7 playoff basketball.
And
like,
that's what's been floating.
And it was like, bro, they was going at it like it was playoff basketball. Like every possession mattered.
Tough game against Miami with us.
Shit, even with the Blazers, that game was
always going to be lit.
The Blazers too,
but that was an end season one though.
No.
Yeah. The Wizards was.
Yeah, but it's like, dog, those games, just everything about them felt playoffy to me.
Yeah,
I think the what makes the end season tournament have such a great draw is because you got to think, like, okay, beginning of the season, it is light, you know what I'm saying? Preseason, you mess around with your rookies and, you know what I'm saying, see who, you know what I'm saying, who gonna show promise. Beginning of the season, yeah, you got your full starters, but like a lot of people, they're not going as super hardcore, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. They're working it out, you know what I'm saying, trying things, again, still playing around with rotations and everything. With the in-season tournament, they added a level of competition early, right? Oh, yeah. A level of competition early out the gate, because like, unless you're trying to go for a record being, or I want to be number one out the gate, a lot of teams are not playing at like that hard right out the gate, but the in-season tournament gave that, you know what I'm saying? You start seeing people, I think anytime you add just any type of stature to the reason for you doing it outside of just a record,
sort
of
an incentive, for sure.
And so, like, you know, saying the in-season tournament has been dope strictly off of that, you know what I'm saying? Now, as far as when we're seeing the standings, is this telling you anything for the season for you or for the playoffs or anything?
No, not really.
I think it's still so early.
Yeah, it's very early, but I'm looking at the in-season games as luck of the draw almost.
Okay.
And then also how it's not, it's still not the season.
Yeah.
It's a tournament. Mm-hmm. I would love to see our favorite team win and our team win, but at the same time, I look at it as it's like a separate season.
Yeah.
You know, within a season. You know what I'm saying? Like, this don't mean that whoever win this shit can win the championship.
Yeah.
Or this don't mean just because they were hot inside of the
in season.
Yeah, because schedule don't mean that they're going to be hot during the season.
Yeah.
Like, don't be surprised if it's a team that make it to the knockout round in the end season tournament and don't make the fucking playoffs.
Yeah.
It's still a long season left.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So, like, so this created, so there's four teams that went 4-0 in there. The Kings, the Lakers, us, and the Pacers.
Okay. When he says us, he means the motherfucking Milwaukee Bucks.
Yes, sir. Of course.
Don't forget.
Right.
Big deers, biatch.
Does that, so impressive of the 4-0 in the end season tournament, but that's not telling anything for you guys?
I'm going to say no. Now, I'm cool with and I'm happy that the Bucks are 4-0. You know what I'm saying? Like, not to just kind of like just move us aside type shit, but I'm just like looking at how I'm looking at us. But I still see the flaws in our team.
Yeah,
of course.
That 4-0 doesn't change what I've seen in our regular season games. But also, again, we're also the guys who's been telling y'all this whole time, it's cool, relax, it's still an early season.
Yeah.
And it is. But we also see the flaws in this team. So that 4-0 doesn't mean, hey, yeah, stamp our ticket now. We're the 2023-24 champ. Nah,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's just day 4-0. They getting their shit off when it comes to these in-season tournament games. Like, they getting it done in those games. Now, let's let this shit transfer into playoff basketball. Then we can talk.
Yeah.
Like, right now, I'm just looking at this as, okay, the in-season tournament game, they getting their shit off. Cool. I look at the Lakers. Again, luck of the draw. You know what I'm saying? Like,
luck of the draw. Definitely fucking luck of the draw.
They need fucking help. And I guarantee you, they will rather have a better fucking season record
than the in-season.
Than the in-season record. Trust me. Like, they want to get to the playoffs. They will trade.
Our code open. We talked about Bron. I know Bron is not. Bron don't give a fuck about this in-season tournament.
He don't give a fuck.
He don't give a fuck about this in-season tournament.
Bron wiped his ass for $500,000.
If we could keep AD healthy, please, actually, fuck these in-season tournament games. This is too much of my body.
If anybody potentially will panic, and it's more than just the in-season, it'd be the Clippers. Yeah. Clippers went 1-3 in the in-season, but they got way more going on.
They got bigger fish to fry.
They got way bigger fish.
They just need to wipe the in-season tournament shit off.
When you were going
through
the standings, I'm sitting there looking at them, I'm like, okay. Everything kind of looks right. And then I go down, I'm like, Clippers and Nuggets at the bottom there?
Yeah, bro. Yeah.
Like,
And don't let that fool you. Again, it's going to be teams that got bad in-season records who don't make the tournament, but still make the fucking playoffs and probably do damage.
But then it's also, there's like Memphis that's 0-4. Obviously, they're missing 3/4 of their fucking team.
And then I seen a rumor earlier that they saying the Lakers are interested in making a play with Chicago, and it went from them being interested in Zach LaVine to now I'm hearing DeMar DeRozan also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I heard that too.
You know what I'm saying? Like, some of these teams that ain't going to be the same teams in a couple months.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Come trade deadline. You know what I'm saying?
So and you know the NBA trade that like always
it's
hard.
Gonna crack. This year's gonna crack so fucking hard.
I still think baseball's trade deadline is probably still the craziest because it's just constantly throughout the whole day shit moving. Yeah. But like the NBA trade deadline, it's always bigger players moving because obviously there's less players. Yeah. So
it's gonna be some moves made because I feel like everybody still got a taste in their mouth about that Dame shit.
People got so upset at that shit.
A lot of people feel
away
like,
no. That's the only game I'm mad I missed was when they went back to Portland, I missed it. I was pissed.
Like, how dare a superstar go to a small market? Exactly, there's no what? What's so up? How dare you?
It's gonna be teams who gonna retool. We might see a couple stars move.
Yeah.
It's gonna be something this year. Yeah. I don't think it's gonna be quiet this year.
No, I don't think so.
Get back to the in-season tournament shit. The 4-0 shit don't really move me. I don't know about y'all.
Nah, it didn't move me. It looked good that it was. And when I was seeing the standings, I was like, all right. But knowing the story of some of them, I'm like, well, shit, I know what the Lakers are dealing with.
Yeah.
And for like, okay, yeah, they got 4-0 on the end season. But like, bro, their season is going to shit.
Low key, I didn't even know the standings. If you'd have put a gun to my head and said, what's the Lakers playoff rate right this season? Yeah. I'd have been like, bro, 0-4? Like, I don't fucking know.
Right. I don't know what the
man. You know what I'm saying?
1-3?
Like, you know what I'm saying? The Spurs, I'm like, you know what I'm saying? We've been seeing what they've been on and trying to. You know, trying to gel.
They just
like,
can't close out games.
They can't
because they need more.
Mm-hmm.
They're just young. Young as hell.
They are. And they gotta get their shit together.
Yeah.
They still gotta figure their team out and how they gonna fucking play with Wimby.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, yeah,
but he's a fucking beast though.
Yeah, the same. But I've seen other people doing it and doing the comparisons. Chet, man.
Chet is, yeah, Chet's that dude.
He getting money, bro.
Abe Lincoln out here balling, bro.
I caught him my rookie of the year.
Yeah. You did. So, I mean, you definitely did. I did too. I said,
bro, don't get me wrong. Wimby going to get his shit. He going to do what he's supposed to do. Yeah. But who I'm watching and who I'm seeing, OKC, have y'all watched any OKC games?
I haven't watched any full games, but I've been seeing highlights and everything.
I watched about three or four OKC games. And I know he got shit going on, but Chet, Giddy, and Shy all on the court together, yeah, bro.
They go crazy.
Get money.
Yeah.
Go crazy. Get money. OKC is so, they like Sacramento to me because I like watching Sacramento games and I like watching OKC games.
I like watching the next people.
Oh, yeah, of course.
That's
yeah.
That Kings team last year was so much fun to watch.
It was. They're fun this year too.
They are fun this year too. But this year, now you're kind of expecting them. Last year was kind of like, the Kings are third place in the West right now and have been all year.
Even this Indiana team too, because, you know, Tyler getting his shit off.
That's nuts. Yeah, I just watched fucking Halliburton pull up from the logo and cash that bitch.
I don't know what they put this Gatorade, but dog, he been going OC.
But shit, speaking of that, let's talk about it. Is he real? Is he the real deal?
He's the real deal, bro.
We're just talking
about the Kings. That's like the one mistake they've made.
Both teams got better.
Yeah.
Both teams got better. Yeah. When that happens, you can't get mad.
That's a rare win-win trade.
Hollenberg was going to be what he is there. You know what I'm saying? Who's to say?
He's going to be one of them dudes where at the end of the year, you're looking and you're like, bro, he was a top five player in the league this year. Yeah. Quietly. Like, because he's making an all-star team this year for sure. He made it last year, didn't he? Yeah, he made it last year. Yeah, that's right.
He's making an all-star team this year, definitely.
He's legit. I mean, just watching the way that his game has come together over like the last, I mean, even towards the end of last year, it was really like he really figured shit out.
He's always been a solid player though, too.
Yeah,
though,
like, he was nice in Sacramento.
Yeah, he was nice in college. He's always been a very good player. I feel like he got in a situation where we kind of been saying, like, if you put a player in a situation where he could thrive.
Yeah.
Indiana is the place where he could be who he needed to be. Don't get surprised if next year he in trade talks.
Yeah,
that's true.
Teams are trying to steal him from Indiana. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
And then, like, you got to think, bro. Like, he consistently every year up the ante in regards to it got better.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? From the league, from the start, from he started off with 13 points per averaging for that year, all the way up to right now. Like I say, he's averaging 25.9.
Yeah.
Going crazy.
And he's their number one scorer now.
Going crazy.
They run shit through him. I mean, obviously Miles Turner still is part of that offense.
But I mean, that's having that one too. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You gotta remember, before it was the big three, before it was the super team, it was always about that 1-2 punch. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Even Obi Toppin.
Yeah.
First of all, his name is OC.
Bro.
His name, I'll just be like, pause.
Every time I hear his name, I'm like, what do you mean?
What's your deal?
Say, hey, yo.
What's your deal, guy?
But none of us had him on our breakout player,
No.
You know why? Because it was one of those things where I don't think about the Pacers low key. I just don't, bro. Like,
I ain't thought about them since the fucking Malice in the Palace.
And I was a big Jermaine O'Neal fan growing up, but I just never thought about the Pacers. And then Paul George, like I was fucking with Paul George.
That was the last one because I wanted that Pacers team to take Bron out so bad. Oh my God, you could not tell me PG George was Hill. Not going to do it. Bro. So
y'all saying all the wrong people. I fuck with my nigga Lance Stevenson.
Lance Stevenson was my nigga. What's up, bro?
Oh,
you know what's funny?
Nigga Lance, dog.
It's funny because Lance was a big part of that Pacers team, but I still think of him on the Hornets still with that Hornets jersey.
Lance was the man.
He's what Draymond Green, what Pat Bev is all trying to be. Lance is there.
You a grown man blowing in another grown man ear, bro.
He didn't get the win, bro. Lance is funny, bro.
He was goofy as a bitch.
He was.
Hey, man, Lance
was He was gone out the league too soon, man.
Lance was my guy, dog. Another person that we got to talk about. Now, this is one of the person that I had on my breakout, but
we went from one Milwaukee Hooper to another.
What's up with Jordan Peele? I mean, Jordan Peele.
Jordan Poole acting like Jordan Peele, with all the twists and turns. He might be the funniest motherfucker in the league right now.
He going for the Shaq and the Fool award
every year.
Do you think that is All right, is he a case of they never should have gave you niggas money? Like, they never should have gave him the championship? Because he been acting the ass since he got that championship.
I think what happened in Golden State possibly could have jaded.
Okay.
Jordan Poole. I feel like he looks at the whole situation.
Look at the league now. Yeah. Like, fuck,
he give off a vibe like, all right, fuck it, I'm here. I'm only here so I don't get fined. He really giving that kind of energy. Yeah,
the thing is, he gives me like, I'm an A1, but like, he be fucking up like he's not an A1.
Yeah. Like,
he came into Washington like he was supposed to be 25 points a game, leading us to wins and all this and that. He's getting his 25 points a game. But they're also still getting blown out by 30.
He getting them, but he get them on a horrible bad shot selection.
Yeah, bro.
Like, he get them at a clip that's just horrible.
He's already got some of the most funniest highlights of already this
bro,
year.
Bro, that whole sideline clip of him like not really paying attention to the coach and then forgetting the play going back. It was like.
That nigga's in his head.
I don't know if it's like he's in his own head.
I think
he's letting this like I think you what need to be said the guy get to him.
I think he wants to be the guy and the villain at the same time, because I feel like you said, he got this I don't care vibe, right? Yeah. And maybe I don't know if he don't want to be where he's at, like, you know what I'm saying, or what, but he got this like, look, I'm too good and I don't care, so you know what, I'm gonna do whatever I want, y'all gonna hate me either way it goes, but fuck it.
That's
like he's giving off that vibe, and you know what I'm saying, and it's like, even because like, you gotta think in this day and age, and you know what I'm saying, he's a young player.
Mm-hmm.
He's not one of those people that is ghosting from social media. Yeah. So he done seen the memes, he done seen the video, he done seen the TikToks and everything like that. And to me, when you see people that do that, that see that type of stuff, and they don't change or they don't have any change behavior, it's kind of like Draymond Green is an outspoken person of that, right?
Yeah.
He doesn't give a fuck, and he tell you, I don't give a fuck. Jordan Poole don't give a fuck now at this point, but he's like, I'm not gonna tell you, I'm just, I don't care.
Yeah.
You're not gonna get nothing from me, you're not gonna get a word from me, but you're gonna see, I just don't care. I'm gonna shoot that bitch every time.
Facts.
This is my team, I'm gonna run that bitch every time. The coach gonna tell me to play, I'll pay attention, maybe, whatever, I'll figure it out. Like, it's like, it's just, he's just giving off that vibe now.
It's like, you wanna be Kobe with the inefficiency.
Facts.
You're not Kobe.
Bro, you're not doing Kobe-ass moves right now.
It's a pool party, though. It's a motherfucking pool party.
Shot me, I'll be figuring it out.
Me too.
I like Jordan Poole.
I do too.
I'd rather see him do good.
You think he should stay? You think he should stay in Washington, or do you?
I think he should, because that team, they can really figure something out. They got the talent.
They do.
They not a bad fucking team. It's just Jordan Poole got to figure it out, because he's damn near, they building around him.
Who's the OG on? Who's the OG on the?
I don't know. We have to look at their roster.
Maybe that's what it is. He need an OG.
I couldn't call
the last OG did to the nigga. Baby, he don't need an OG.
I mean,
that's probably his problem. He don't want no OG. He's like, nope, y'all old niggas be tripping.
Nope. I was gonna say, fucking
y'all
what?
Old niggas take shit too personal.
The oldest motherfucker I can think of was Kelly Oubre.
I can't.
And you know he's dealing with that situation.
I can't even joke with y'all old niggas. Nope.
Yeah, I couldn't. Fight, I couldn't
knock
call
a nigga
it,
out
bro.
And shit. Like, nope.
So they got Kuzma over there.
Tyus Jones been there.
He's been there.
Yeah, Gallinari, old as fuck. Bro, he's a center on here? That's wild. That motherfucker's a small forward. Let's see. Deion Wright. Yeah, bro. They got so many motherfuckers I know. Johnny Davis from Wisconsin?
Yeah.
Bro, Tyler, I follow.
There's not one person on this team that's going to tell Jordan Poole what to do. That's all I'm seeing. I'm looking at this roster.
Yeah.
There's not one person on this team that can say, hey, man, chill out.
Who's on the coaching staff? They need somebody on the coaching staff.
I follow Sam Decker on Twitter. And he was talking about how the Wizards fucked Johnny Davis up. They done fucked his jump shot up. They done taught him, try to teach him all these mechanics and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And he was showing clips of him in like warm-ups and shit. Mm-hmm. And his jumper looked fucking robotic, and he was missing that bitch. And he was like, I don't know what the Wizards did to you, dog, but you need to get the fuck out or tell them to fuck off. Cause your jumper got you in the league. Like, why the fuck would you try to change it?
To Berkey's point. How does an OG approach Jordan Poole now to get him back on track? Like, let's say one of the people that's retired, right? You know what I'm saying? That been working with players and everything like that.
Yeah.
See what's going on. See the potential in Jordan Poole, but know that like somebody got to reach out to this kid. Like,
well, first of all, they got to. Because I seen a clip of Kevin Garnett was like going in on him, like, bro, that's not the way.
Nah.
You're not gonna get through him saying he's too bitch-ass nigga. Get him out of the league.
It's not even like you young, but it's like he's young.
He is
like. You know how this shit goes, bro. Like, the attention spans and shit. He's like, bro, I'm not dealing with it.
And let's be clear, bro. Like, I watched KG documentary. I read KG book. I've heard stories about KG.
Yeah.
Bro, he wasn't the nicest nigga.
Bro, he was not at all.
Jaquim Noah
came up to him like, man, I look up to you. He's like, nigga, shut the fuck up. I'm finna bust your ass. Like, that's scary, nigga. Like,
all because Jordan did it to you. Like, bro.
Yeah. You know what I mean? We all know deep down, Jordan was a fucking maniac.
And granted, there's a level of competition and, you know, this is a profession and shit like that. Yeah. But it's like, bro, you ain't got to be that big of an asshole.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, maybe he do.
I mean, but also there's some dude that had that.
During that time, you probably had to. Now it's illegal, buddy, buddy. During that time, it was definitely fuck
you. You know what? I agree. I don't like the buddy buddy shit.
I don't either.
I hate it.
You know what I'm saying? So I feel him. I feel him.
I love the fact that Jimmy Butler acted like the Bucks' rival. I loved it.
I feel like when you out of the league, this is the time where you put your arm around a young player.
Yeah.
You no longer in competition anymore. You don't work for a team.
And you know that you no longer even have a chance to be back in. Yeah.
You know, KG is a big money player. Yep. You know how to being young and having this money. You know how this shit go. Mm-hmm. I would rather see KG and Paul Pierce being like, you know what? Hey man, Jordan Poole, we here for you. If you need advice or whatever, we would love to have a conversation with you, man. I DM you, send you my number. Let's chop it up. Let's talk because I see flaws in your game. I see you doing this wrong. I see you doing that wrong. From the clip I seen and what KG was saying, it seemed like KG talked to somebody.
Yeah.
That's the vibe I got. Yeah, I got a vibe like KG to talk to somebody because the shit he was saying, like, oh, you disrespecting the... I'm like...
Because you know a lot of the niggas from the 90s that they fuck with Draymond. They fuck with Draymond heavily.
And it's fucked up to say because it's like the one person I know that really would get Jordan Poole's fucking right is Kobe, and unfortunately he's gone. Yeah. Because you know that's the type of motherfucker that would be like.
It's players around who I feel like he could talk to who could get him on the right track. Like a player like a Paul Pierce. Paul Pierce ain't too far from what kind of player Jordan Poole is.
Yeah.
Like he was a bucket.
However,
a player like Paul Pierce. Paul Pierce like be on KG, some other shit
though.
Yeah.
Yeah, Paul Pierce is partying right
now. Paul Pierce is he just really needs a player
who's been through things like less like a Ray Allen. He need mentorship. And I feel like the whole Golden State shit might have left a bad taste in my mouth.
It definitely did.
Might have fucked his head up.
Because you got to think, in Golden State, you was around a whole lot of top tier veterans who could definitely help you and usher you in.
I think they did. I feel like that program was the reason why he played the way he played.
But I feel like the reason why he's acting the way he is now, when he got fired off on, like, you got to think, none of the other OGs really consoled him.
No.
Because he probably needed that ass whooping.
But even if you get your ass whooping, an OG can tell you you needed that and still, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're right.
And still,
you're right.
You know what I'm saying? Get to you.
No, see, I disagree, bro. Like, if we a team, bro.
We're all
like,
professionals still at the end of the day.
Check me, bro, but don't put your hands
on me. I feel you. I'm just saying it's too far gone to have that conversation.
Especially if you my OG. If I don't swell up on you, and I don't act like I'm putting my hands on you.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no reason for you to put your hands on me.
The video make it even worse. Because he may have been talking cash shit, but he didn't do anything aggressive.
He snaked him.
Yeah, he definitely did.
He didn't see that coming.
No, he didn't.
So it's like, I feel like that was bogus.
Yeah. I definitely Draymond lost a little bit of respect for Draymond.
That was bogus on Draymond's part. And then it's like, you did that to Jordan Poole, bro. Don't get me wrong. Jordan Poole is like a fucking giant to us.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I look at him as like a kid to me. Yeah. You know, he's younger. You know what I'm saying? So if I look at him like that, I can only imagine what Draymond look at him as like. Yeah. You're supposed to be your little homie, your little brother.
You're supposed to be up next type shit.
That's the thing. But even with that being said, from what I'm hearing, Jordan Poole was his rookie.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? So when a player is your rookie, you ain't supposed to do that to your rookie.
You definitely not. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if we know how this shit works,
I mean, I get tough love, but that ain't even tough love. That's tough hate.
How team shit work, like, when we hear stories about people saying, like, oh, yeah, that was my rookie, they say that as in, like, that was my little homie.
Yeah.
That was my little brother.
Yeah.
That was my, you know what I'm saying? Like, they scold them. They make them carry the bags. You got to bring the donuts in the morning.
Yeah.
Dinner on you tonight. You know what I'm saying?
Type shit, yeah.
They're supposed to really treat him totally different. I think the Golden State shit was a good thing for him, but at the same time, how it ended, it was bad. It's probably the reason why he's operating how he operates.
And you know what's funny? That's kind of like the story with Golden State. Golden State was the best situation for KD, but how it ended was bad. Like, it's just like, bro, that shit keep on happening in Golden State.
Yeah.
Shit be the best, and then it ended. It's like, it's
like a fraternity. If you ain't part of the fraternity, you get your ass out.
You expendable.
Yeah.
If you ain't one of the original three, who's the fourth? It was Iggy.
If you ain't part of that core,
shit, Iggy can come back right now if he wants to.
He could. I was salty, Iggy left.
You could put Livingston in there too, because he was really part of it. He was kind of the one who kind of got everybody. He was like, all right, we were really going.
I feel like you ain't part of that core though.
Yeah.
You expendable.
Yeah.
They're like, nigga, you can leave.
Yeah. So that's another, fair. Another player that's been doing their thing, you know, we watching the Heat right now, Bam Adebayo.
Yeah.
Top five center in the league?
I'm going to say no.
Ooh, okay.
I'm going to say no.
I'm going to say no as well, but I'm going to sit here and try to think of five better.
Okay. We could do that. Let's if we go on five right now.
Because it's also tough, because I was sitting here thinking about when we posted this in as a discussion topic. I'm sitting here thinking like, who's really a center anymore besides like Jokic Gobert?
Embiid. So right now,
I mean, I guess Jokic. Embiid.
So we got.
Because it's like, is Cat a center or Jokic, is he a power forward? Embiid, that's playing center.
Carl Anthony Towns, Rudy Gobert, Bam Adebayo, Nikola, DeAndre Ayton, Clint Capella, Miles Turner.
He's better than all of them.
Nurkic,
he's better than him.
And then a slew of other people like Brooke Lopez, Christian Woods.
See, but I consider Christian Wood like a four, not a five.
Steven Adams. Four. I'm probably Christian Wood is a stretch four.
That's what I'm saying. That's where I was like, this list has got so who guys that so are just playing.
You said four. He's not top five.
Who would I put above him? Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm putting Joker above him.
Yep. Embiid.
I'm putting Embiid above him.
Yeah, that's definitely. I put Cat above him.
I'm definitely putting Cat above him. Let's see who else.
This is, and that's like, those three are easy, and then it gets kind of tough after that.
I also put Turner.
You put Turner above him?
Turner?
I'll put Miles Turner above Bam.
You put Brooke? As a center.
I think I'll put Brooke and I'll put Rudy Gobert above him.
Okay, so.
He's not a better defender than Rudy Gobert.
He's definitely not.
Or Brooke.
Not. Yeah. So he's a better scorer. He might be a better scorer, but I damn near feel like he can't shoot better than Brooke.
I wouldn't say
we matched the shooting.
Yeah,
he probably I could be biased the fuck out. So if you see this clip and you a Miami fan,
I know Bam has a wider arsenal.
He's hooping this year.
I'd agree with
that. Let's not. You know what I'm saying? Try to look over that. He balling out his fucking mind.
I do have him in my top five.
Okay.
I have him in my top five.
I think I do too, and I think he's probably five.
The stuff that you said about he can't shoot better than Brooke, but Bam has more in his arsenal than Brooke.
Yeah.
I feel like he does, but I feel like if you matching them up, I feel like Brooke might be right now, stat wise, on both ends. He might catch Brooke on offense, but I feel like defensive and rebounding, Brooke got him.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And I feel like defensive rebounding, Rudy Gobert got him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like if you put these centers like on him, he might get Brooke. I feel like he won't get Rudy.
Yeah. I would say he's probably top five for me. Now that the one you were looking at the list there, I'm like,
and I'm matching Bam, up with the Bam last really bottom is, of the five.
It's like, yeah. Yeah.
My last five at the bottom.
I might personally put Bam over Brooke because I like his game a little bit more.
Yeah.
Bro, you know me, like I've mentioned, like Brooke just looks old to me.
He looks
like he's in pain.
It took me a while to even come to like
bro,
even
him he, running even up the court.
Even though he's been productive, I'm like for the longest, I'm like, bro, get rid of Brooke. But I'm like, but he'd be so productive. Like,
bro,
I fuck
you know
with Brooke.
When you go to the Y and you with the OG and he just hurt running up the court. That's what Brooke looks like, bro. Then he comes down, he'd be blocking fucking shots and hitting threes and shit.
He's rebounding.
Yeah.
He's scoring.
I agree.
Like,
I agree.
Bro, he passing that motherfucker.
I had no real legitimate. Yeah, it was just like you said, it's just, again, the way he plays is just like, bro, it looks so
good. He run with his back arch, bro. Yeah, like, it's like, bro, you just are in pain. Like, you take hot and like ice baths every night.
Brooke, I like Brooke game, but for me, I would probably put Bam at like six.
Yeah. That's
me though, you know what I'm saying. And I like Bam, but again, I could be like he opt out to me too. When you opt forever for me.
Yeah,
but,
it's fair. That's
you know
fair.
What I'm saying. But I just feel like he not top five centers, bro. He not. And I feel like if you move into a true position, which I believe would be a four.
I believe he's a four. If you were
he
to
might
play
be top
like
five, four.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Because he really ain't a fucking center. Let's be honest.
I mean, now you like I said, you may have a couple of like you definitely got a couple of legs to stand on here when it comes to Bam. Even though Bam is doing his thing, Bam is not top 10 in anything besides steals.
Yeah,
out of centers.
Yeah,
I believe that. Yeah, I mean, and it's just I think they also do a good job of like incorporating him into the Heat system that works for him playing center too.
Facts.
Which is what they've obviously done.
He's nine in assists and six in steals. But as far as like I said, rebounds go, we're talking about just that. Like
he's in the system. He's 17 on his play.
17 on rebounds, and in blocks if we're talking. So like they're like, you know what I'm saying, just using like utilizing like for the position. He's not even top 20 in blocks. Yeah. So it's like, you know what I'm saying? But then in points, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, if we're talking point wise, I don't even think he's top 10 in points or top 20.
He's not.
So like, you know what I'm saying? Even though Bam is doing his thing and he you know what I'm saying? He's definitely a force and a big staple of the Heat, of Heat culture. I mean, as far as being a center, you know what I'm saying, is he as effective right now? And so Berkey may have a...
That's fair. That's fair.
Oh, no, I was mistaken. He's 6 points. Okay. Oh. I was like, that's kind of wild if he's in. So yeah, I mean, he's still in there. So, you know what I'm saying? There we go. So, but it's like I said, Berkey had him at 7. So, you know what I'm saying? That goes hand in hand kind of where it's at.
He likes 7-6 with me if I really sit down and break it down. Because also, I got Miles Turner over him, too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And you know what's crazy is I didn't even really think about Miles Turner because, as I said before, I really don't think about the Pacers. But I've always liked Miles Turner's game.
Yep.
And I remember him just constantly giving the Bucks buckets.
All right, let's jump over to football.
Oh, baby.
Packers win back-to-back games.
Turkey Day.
Turkey Day.
Turkey Day Ws.
We got the sun and the turkey. That's the story of them two games.
Yep. So I mean, what did these back to back games tell us? These back to back wins.
We still got a fucking chance this year. Bro. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like we not done.
We are technically the last seed in the playoffs right now.
Yep.
And that's all you need in
because
NFL.
The Vikings lost
that's
last.
All you need
because
is
the Vikings
is
lost
all you
last
need
Monday.
Is that one toe
we,
in.
We not done. We not done again. Hey, don't trip. Still playing with the house's money.
Yeah.
If we make it to the playoffs, cool. If we win a playoff game, nigga, we can pop some champagne. Like, bro, like this is all off the house, bro.
Yeah. I saw the stat, bro. We got 10 more wins. Yep. 10 more wins, we're Super Bowl champs. Yep. We win the next 10 games, Super Bowl champs.
If we was in the casino right now, we at the table, we had already put the money we walked in this motherfucker with in our pocket.
Yeah, okay.
We playing with the money we won at the casino right now. So, yeah, bro, like, I'm happy. It's good seeing the team come together when they're coming together. It's good seeing them gel. I still feel like the same thing that we've been saying that they need to do, we need to enforce that line. We need the offensive line.
Yeah.
We need our receivers to play with the kind of confidence they play. I don't know if they told them they ain't gonna be able to eat Thanksgiving after the game if they don't win. They played like they was there, bro.
They did.
We need that kind of confidence every fucking game. We need our receivers to catch the ball. Dobbs,
it felt so good
bro,
to watch
Dobbs,
Christian Watson play out.
Please, bro. He is so talented, bro, but for some reason he cannot pull the fucking ball in, bro.
Yeah, he's got reach hands, bro. He's got late hands, bro. He's got reach hands. He doesn't have pull in hands.
Bro,
it's weird.
They need to get the goop from Little Giants, bro.
The goop.
Get the black goop that they had a Little Giants that Shorty had, bro. Put that shit in Dobbs' hands, bro. And just let him walk around with that shit. He gonna catch every damn thing.
And
bro,
just all day, just throw stuff at him and say, but bring it to your chest.
He's still so much more of a better natural receiver than Watson is. It's crazy to watch.
Even saying that, though, but then seeing what Watson did, man, he's going up getting
Bro, that first play of the game?
Yeah.
He went up and got that bitch against Detroit. That was,
bro.
Dog, we were at the, after our second game, we were at the little local bar that one of the guys owns, and that's the thing every year after the game. We go there, and we all just went there because, you know, the Packer game was on. Yeah. We was like, let's go. Bro, we got in there. I literally walked in, put the stuff down. I look up. I'm like, Watson going up and getting that. I'm like, oh, shit. I ain't even ready. I loved it,
but it's just like seeing that we have young talent like that, and it could be like that every game. I just want them to really get that confidence and keep that confidence.
So what's the expectation for this Kansas City Chiefs game?
I'm gonna come out and say, I think we're going to win. I'm going to say I think we're going to win because I feel like this game, we have nothing to lose. We have nothing to lose, bro. We are in a situation where we have nothing to lose. Kansas City is the team that got to... They feel like they got to win.
Yeah. I agree.
You know what I'm saying? They could definitely blow their... You know what I'm saying? Blow this shit, be in a situation where they fuck up the whole game. You know what I'm saying? Like, they could really be in a situation where this shit don't work out for them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So
yeah. But unfortunately, this might be one of those get-right games for Kansas City, too, because they've been looking for a get-right game.
They have been. And this is... If you look at the calendar, you'd be like... Let's get it.
So what's your expectations here?
I got us winning this one.
You got it winning?
I don't think they're going to win, but I think that they're going to play Kansas City better than people realize. Like, I think the line is going to be closer than what... Because, like, especially with the way the Packers have been going lately, like, our offense has really figured shit out. Like, the last... Granted, our run game is still super trash, but Dylan's been running better. The old line has been blocking a fucking way fucking better.
Yeah.
I mean, they damn near shut Detroit line down, and Detroit's got one of the best pass rushes in the league. Like, it was just fun watching our guys kind of like really figure shit out, and which is what we talked about right away. It was like, it's going to take a little bit of time. And this team is now, as the season is progressing, guys are figuring out their roles. Yep. I mean, the way that the Packers do shit, just kind of like every team does, they do it a lot more frequently, though, is they'll move guys around on the O-line. Yep. If a guy's not having a good game at left tackle, they'll move him to fucking right guard type shit and move guys around. Because we got like Jenkins, we got Zach Tom. Rashee Walker had a fucking awful start to the year at left tackle. Yep. And now he's been locked solid the last three games. It's like... So it's just it's you know it's been fun to watch. Obviously getting wins against Detroit, which I didn't expect. I mean,
we got our lick back.
Yeah, we did. That we was did, good to see. And we were up quite a bit on them too. It was fun. We were in control pretty much the whole game from the jump. So that was great. Detroit definitely was not awake playing football at 7:30 in the morning like me, because and the Packers were apparently they come out ready to go.
That was still one of the games that was on my list of wins when I said that we're gonna go on that 4-0.
Yep, you said 4-0.
4-0. So I'm still with it, saying that they're gonna win. It's not gonna be a pretty win. It's definitely gonna be a dogfight, I do believe, though. Like,
it could be one of those, if the Packers win, it'll be like a random ass late field goal type situation, possibly.
And I'll take it.
I will too. Oh, if we beat the Chiefs, I'm all for it. That'll shock the world, low key. Us beating the Lions, everybody was like, it's interdivision, things like that.
Yeah,
we beat Kansas City.
That's a new. Then it's a new conversation.
Like, okay, Jordan Love might be him.
It's a whole new conversation about the Packers now.
I agree. They all start to look at things differently, because I mean, the Packers will still be what, 2-3 games out of the division lead, but we, like I said, we still have the last spot secured right now. If the season ended today, we'd be going to Philadelphia. But shit, that's pretty much all we can hope for, is that let's just hope the Packers can figure out a way to get to a decent playoff spot.
Yep. You know? So you need them to lose.
I do, to keep our random to keep our guesses going.
You need them
going
to win.
Yeah.
So like, I'm already out.
Yeah, but Diggs has been out. Diggs was in for 1 week, and that was it.
But so that's what we're going to, like I said, we're going to see how this 4-game stretch goes and see who it is, right?
Yeah, I mean, hey, it's funny how it comes down to that.
All right.
Yeah.
So speaking of, like, that being a good game, we got Tom Brady, you know what I'm saying, giving his thoughts on the NFL.
Yeah.
Talking about the
this
NFL
mofo,
soft.
Man.
How you guys feel?
Tom,
you complain about shit that you started?
Yeah, Tom, my boy, but you got to sit this one out, dog.
How you eat the cake and then complain it ain't no cake?
The game got soft for you. You know what
it
I mean?
Definitely did.
Like,
Tom Brady rule is a thing.
That roughing the passer shit got amped up because of Tom Brady, bro. Like, they wanted to protect the golden boy.
I said there were certain parts of it that was like justified for shit happening in the league, but a lot of the shit just be wild. Like the roughing the passer shit, that's wild as a bitch. Like, I ain't never seen no calls like the way that shit goes over the last couple years.
They
want to
protect
wild.
The QBs, because the QBs are one of the most
prominent
positions
in the league.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I feel it, but at the same time, a prime quarterback, a dude who ate off of the softness of the NFL, saying that is crazy.
I feel like we got the fight that people aren't talking about is NBA referees versus NFL referees. I feel like that's the battle. They're like, oh, like who can call the most bullshit calls? Yeah. Who can fuck up the gameplay the most?
Yeah.
Because like I said, we're seeing that across the board. We're seeing unnecessary calls in the NFL, unnecessary calls in the NBA. We're seeing unnecessary technical fouls. It's just like, gee. Like, when is it gonna get in order here?
Like, we gotta just take the game out of the ref's hands, is pretty much what it comes down to. It's like, y'all can't it's always the same old argument. It's like, you can't call shit. If you letting them play all game and then you calling the shit when there's 2 minutes left in the game and the game is tied and the team is dropped, like, bro, come on, man.
Yeah,
you swallowed the whistle all three quarters. Now you wanna call that bullshit?
Nah,
right.
Nah.
But then you also get bonehead plays where the refs just kind of looking like, God damn it, now I really got to throw this shit. And motherfuckers be mad. Last year, the Chiefs-Bengals playoff game, when Dar from the Bengals pushed Mahomes after he stepped out of bounds.
Yeah.
It's like, bro, you...
You know you shouldn't have did that bullshit.
Yeah, it's like, and Mahomes did the perfect thing you're supposed to do. He tiptoed all the way down and was like, all right, wait till he gets close to me. All right, I'm going to step out.
Yeah.
Boom, and then he hit me. Like, Mahomes plays the game well. He knows what the fuck to do.
Yep.
And it's like, yeah, I mean, but these motherfucking refs be tripping.
These refs be wilding, man.
And then Tom Brady, man, yeah, I love him, man. Greatest quarterback. That's, you know, he's the GOAT. But to call the NFL soft, and then for Aaron Rodgers of all people to agree with him and was like on his side, was like, yeah, it has gotten soft. It's a parody league. Like, yeah, because of y'all.
Definitely because of both of y'all. One, 2 punch.
What you mean?
This is happening to protect players like y'all.
Yeah. Like, so speaking of protecting and Aaron Rodgers, man, Aaron Rodgers coming off of injury reserve after less than 3 months of tearing his Achilles.
He practiced today, man. Yeah. I wouldn't say practice. For the flips I saw, he stood in place and threw the football a little bit.
Yeah, he got that GOAT Achilles.
Is this impressive? Is he doing too much?
I'm gonna say it is impressive. That's a bad fucking injury.
Right.
And for him to be doing what he's doing, it's impressive. But at the same time, hey man, sit your ass down, man. These young boys is hitting.
Yeah.
Relax. Don't rush.
If he believes that the league is soft, then he's probably like, yeah, damn, ain't cool. Nobody gonna touch me.
All right.
But also, when he got hurt, nobody touched him.
All right. You're going to learn the hard way. All right, now.
You're going to fuck around and find out.
OG, say, man, you're going to find out fat meat greasy.
Yeah, man.
Go to calm your ass down, boy.
It's so crazy. Like, the conspiracies are like, oh, he really didn't tear it as bad as he did. Yeah, like, they said he was injured, but he never actually tore it. Like, he was just strained, and he's been playing it up to try to, like, prove scientists wrong and all, because you know how he's weird, bro. He's just a weird dude, bro.
Prove scientists wrong would be crazy, bro.
Greatest throw of the football I've ever seen in my life. Probably one of the most annoying human beings I've heard speak, bro. Like,
Rodgers wild.
Like, bro, you just he be wild, bro.
When he's speaking, bro,
like. Bro, like, I'm not gonna lie. I was a fan of him joining the Pat McAfee show when he was doing the Tuesdays with Aaron type shit, and he was, you know, going on the shows. But it was when the Packers were winning. Yeah. But then they start losing. He doing all this shit. Then he starts doing all this all extra nonsense. Then he did the whole darkness for cheese and shit, drinking spit and doing all this extra whatever the fuck he was doing.
He weird, bro. Aaron Rodgers is weird, man. He weird, dog.
Fucking taking just psychedelics and just being a weirdo, man. Bro, this isn't the 70s. You weren't even in the 70s, bro.
All right, so lastly, you know what I'm saying? You are MLB correspondent. Yes, sir. You know what I'm saying? Jake Exclusive, bro. All right, so Jackson Chourio, the Brewers are close to a deal to extending the 19-year-old CF prospect Jackson Chourio.
Yes, sir.
Tell us about this. Now, you're saying that this is epic.
So this is something that is unprecedented as far as a contract extension being handed out like this. He's never played any. He's only played like 9 games in Double A, which it's Double A, Triple A, and then MLB. So there's even a level before MLB that he hasn't even reached yet. But he is the number one prospect in all of baseball. He was number two going into last year, and then Gunnar Henderson, the guy who ended up winning Rookie of the Year for the Orioles, he was when he got called up. So Chourio stepped into that role. He's a fucking stud, like true 5-tool guy, like fucking insane. Like I don't understand how the Brewers just ended up with this fucking guy, but he ended up in our system. And I'm just like, bro, we literally have a guy who's being compared to Ronald Acuña Jr. Like, and he's just, and the rumor is going to be that he might fuck around and just end up on the MLB roster opening day this year. So, because he's just got that level of talent. I mean, guys have made the jump from, like, they don't have to go to the next level. They can get brought up at any point. Yeah. Juan Soto was the same way when he was with the Nationals. He went straight from A ball. He played like 8 games in Double A and boom, major leagues. And he's been up there ever since. Yeah. So it's not unseen, but it's like the fact that the Brewers of all teams have this dude is insane to me. And then getting this deal, I mean, it's going to be the richest contract extension for a guy who hasn't played big league ball yet. It's like 8 years, 80 mil. Like,
jeez.
It's crazy, bro. Like,
10 mil a year.
And it's like, crazy, hey, because...
And MLB be giving out them bags.
And it's wild, because if you think about it, in terms of... Like, that's a fucking steal for the Brewers. Like, as far as modern day baseball contracts go, I mean, it's like... That's cheap. 10 mil a year?
Yeah.
That's nothing for like an MLB player. I mean, guys are signing $25 million a year contracts in free agency right now.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's insane. I'm happy that we got him locked up. I mean, obviously it hasn't fully signed yet, but
I mean, like
you said, it's pretty close to an extension, and it's like, he's going to be, this is the number one prospect the Brewers have had, I think, since like Ryan Braun came up. like that type of hype. Because I remember when Braun first came up, it was like, okay, he's our number one prospect coming up like that. Because I think our other last guy that we had that I can remember off the top of my head that was really like a prospect we had was Orlando Arcia. Mm-hmm. And he was fucking trash with the Brewers. Like he just didn't, he wasn't super great. And then Luis Arias was the same way when we got him. Mm-hmm. But he never really panned out to be the star guy either. But Churio's done nothing but stardom. Right. He's flashed everywhere he's been.
So if he does make that jump and he's already in the roster on opening day, mm-hmm. then like I said, all those woes that we was talking about 2-3 episodes ago, that kind of helps out.
It can. Yeah. It
helps out with that.
Because it's a guy who's on a cheap deal and then he's young. He's going to figure the game out. But mm-hmm. I think he's got the talent where he can come in right away and kind of do like Corbin Carroll did with the Diamondbacks this year, where as a rookie, he was like a top 10 player in all baseball this year.
Okay.
Like that type of impact, I feel like he can have because he's shown that he can have that type of impact.
All right. So now, you know, we normally end on a fun topic and we've been talking about introducing segments and everything. And I want to introduce the OTC player of the week.
Yes, sir. Yes,
all right. Now, this is going to be one of our weekly awards that we give out to the players that we've been seeing that have been going crazy in any of in any league, you know what I'm saying, and everything like that. Let's start with you, Jake. Who is the Jake exclusive OTC?
The OTC POW.
Yep, POW.
POW.
a lot of letters. I'm going with Jordan Love. It's a 2 week, you know, space for me, but just the way that he played against Detroit on Thanksgiving, I mean, just that alone. He came out the gate firing, man. He's played so good after that, you know, after that Pittsburgh game, mm-hmm. coming back from that two interceptions, and just coming back against the Chargers, and then he looked like a pro that is ready to just take that next step against Detroit. And just the way that he's kind of stepped his game up, that's who I'm going with, Jordan Love. I mean, way to get it going. Go Pack, go. Let's keep it going, Jordan.
For sure.
Shout out Jordan Love.
Yes, sir. So,
Bergie Streets.
Who's your player of the week I was going to go with? I had to make a quick decision. I chose another player. I'm going to go with Anthony Edwards. The reason I'm going to say Anthony Edwards is because I feel like this year, I think we spoke about him earlier.
Breakout.
Breakout. Yep. We talked about Breakout. Yep. Yes, we did.
And he's doing that. You know what I'm saying? He's definitely took it to a whole nother level. I feel like he's playing out of his mind. He's become the leader in Minnesota.
Yeah.
It's like he done lapped Cat.
Oh, yeah.
You know what
I'm
saying? Like, it's like clear that this is his team. Minnesota belongs to Anthony Edwards.
Yeah.
He's averaging 26 a night. In points, rebounds, he's getting about 6-5. Assists, he's averaging 5. I feel like solid numbers. I know he just had an injury. I don't know how long he's going to have him out, but hopefully he comes back quick. But I feel like he's going to be an all-star this year. And these last past couple games is like been solid, like a 21 game, a 24 game, a 35 game. He put 35 up against Sacramento, which is that's not a small feat at all.
We were just talking about. We were literally just talking about that. Yeah. Like yo, so
yeah, like he's made me. I'm not going to say he made me a believer, but. I see Anthony Edwards, and I only see him getting only better from here on out. So yeah, that's my player of the week, man. Yep. Anthony
Definitely.
Edwards.
Hell yeah.
I'm gonna go Malik Beasley. I mean, kind of just rehashing on what we talked about earlier. The one thing that, like I said, Malik Beasley, he's never been a scrub, right? And so you know, for the fact that people are questioning, is he as important as Dame or more important than Dame? Like I said, it shows me that this person is playing at a high level where, again, he could potentially be in a starting position, right? And so we're fortunate enough to have him being open to playing a role. You know, we had but also being able to cook. You know,
his
confidence level that I'm seeing on the court is that, you know, so you're seeing him pull, you're seeing him control, you know what I'm saying, the floor. You're seeing him take, you know what I'm saying, not playing like, oh, I just got minimum time. He's playing like the veteran that we expect him to play, that he's there, that he knows what he's here for. He's being efficient. He's being effective. He's helping the team move. And again, he's giving, like, I know his, like I said, his relief, he's giving relief to Chris Middleton, but being able to do that and what he's doing on the court is giving relief to the whole team, right? Because now, you know what I'm saying, we don't have, our starters don't ever have to feel like, we got to be on the court and do this because if we don't, then we're going to go, you know, it's going to be a minus, right?
Sure.
They we're having confidence in our players. So I'm definitely going Malik Beasley.
Love it.
All right.
Love
it. So, man, you know, like, again, Make sure you follow us on all social medias. You know what I'm saying? Make sure you follow everybody's personal page. That's where you get a lot of, like, this in-the-moment commentary and everything. If you are a Heat fan, then I definitely say you got to follow Bergie Streets. I mean, you're going to love everything he's saying about your team. I promise you that. I promise
you. I'm a great Miami Heat follower. I'm a great Boston Celtics follower. Yeah. All Celtics fans, all Heat fans, follow me. Yeah. I fuck with y'all.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
We're going to have fun here.
Yeah, but as always, man, remember, man, this is the Off the Clock Sports Podcast, place where the game starts and ends.
Thanks.
Yep, and make sure you tune in next time, and we'll be back. Peace.
All right.